Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
And welcome to it. It's the summer session on Triple M. We do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers, 1800 848 848. So good to be back talking footy. My name's Anthony Maroon. Joining me, my good mate, James Triceps Hooper.
The Redfern Rocket, how are you? I've missed you. Summer session, the greatest game of all rugby league. It genuinely does never ever sleep.
No.
And we're back at it again, and there is plenty to bite into.
Well, there is. We've got some great guests coming up today, including David Nofaluma. You say Nofaluma, I say yes for Luma. And also coming up will
I say not for Luma, Anthony.
Do you, mate?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be wrong.
You're the caller, so you're supposed to know those things.
And Joshy Mansour on the way as well, who is at the Rabbitohs now. Saw him training yesterday. He looks the goods. Now, you talk about rugby league never sleeps. From what I'm hearing, you've had a pretty good run over the off-season as well. What have you been up to?
Well, unlike yourself back in the old Sugar Reef days, I actually haven't been cutting shapes, looking at my eyelids and blowing bubbles. I had to make a mercy dash across the Victorian border. A lot of my extended family, all my cousins live out in the bush down in Mexico. And so we always planned to leave on the 20th of December anyway, but then with the whole COVID shutdown and obviously all the various premiers around the country were looking to lock the borders off. My wife and myself drove like Craig Lowndes around Mount Panorama to get down there. Didn't break the speed limits, but it was an impressive performance. Kids were in the back. They were unbelievable. They were so good.
Yeah.
Just kicked back and we're teaching them all about Gundagai and all the places you pass along the way, Albury and Wodonga, all that sort of thing, the Murray River. And then, yeah, got down there out in the bush and had a good time, Anthony.
Yeah. Well, from what I hear, mate, you broke the record for a Mazda CX-9 from Sydney to Melbourne. So congratulations on that.
I can't confirm or deny that, Anthony. Like I said, we stuck the speed limits the entire way and everything was all above board.
It's great when the kids are little and you can get away with the kids. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Did you stop at Holbrook for a pie?
You know what? No, we stopped at Gundagai. Could stop there at the dog on the tucker box. Mm. But they were so, like I said, they were angels on the way down. The way back was a little bit different. We had a couple of pit stops and stopped at a joint called Tumbarumba, where some friends of my wife live in the bush there on the border. But the kids on the way down were phenomenally so good. It was like, oh, I remember in the old days, my brother and I would be bashing each other up by about the fifth minute of sitting in the back seat. Mm. But my kids, I was actually, I had to check to pinch myself and ask my wife to make sure they were still ours because they were so well behaved. Mm. It really did surprise us.
And your day, you'd be in the back of the XB Fairmont. Your dad would be listening to Charlie Pride. And you'd be just, are we there yet, Dad? Stop blowing smoke in my face.
Was more the VK Commodore or the Gemini. And yeah, Kenny Knievel, the old man, he did used to love a dart in the front seat.
Yeah.
He'd be chain smoking the whole way. Mm. And occasionally before the days of DUI, sometimes he'd even have a box of throwdowns in the back seat. Yeah. He'd get you to pass him one from time to time.
Ah, memories, the good old days of the 80s. Now, our poll today is a pretty simple one. But we have to ask the question, who do you think will finish last in this season's NRL competition? Who's going to get the wooden spoon? I think it's wide open this year. There's no clear favourite at Triple M underscore NRL or the Triple M NRL Facebook page. Triple M rocking the NRL over summer. It's a brand new show called Triple M Summer Session. We're going to get you through the summer because rugby league, at least, is the game that never sleeps with Maroon, James Triceps Hooper. And as a West Tigers fan, you are very happy, Hoops, that David Nofaluma has signed a four-year deal. You say no for Luma. I say yes for Luma. And we've got him on the phone. David, welcome to the summer session.
How you going, boys?
All good, Dave. Hey, congratulations, mate. Tell you what, Tigers fans, everybody's absolutely rapt that we've got you on board 2025. Just talk us through the process, why it meant so much to you to remain at the West Tigers.
Yeah, I think, I took a lot of thought into making the decision. I made it clear to everyone that my preference was to stay with the club that I started off with, and I think the only player that so far that's been a one club man is Chris Lawrence, and it's very rare these days in the NRL to see a player become a one club man. So for myself, I wanted to be a part of that, and I'm glad that myself and the club could come to an agreement, and it's all sorted, so I'm really wrapped.
Now, just talk to us a little bit about the club and how things are shaping up for the season ahead, because we've got Lee Hadjipantelis as the chairman. He's a very good friend of this program and a great human being, and I believe that he had quite a big influence on yourself. I think, did you blokes play golf last week and go for dinner and all that sort of thing? How much of an influence was having somebody like that to give you some advice in terms of your decision, Dave?
Yeah, well, I definitely went and played golf with him. Had dinner with him probably almost every night. Took me out to dinner every night. So, but ever since I signed the deal, yes, I haven't heard from him. So, I don't know what he's got, what's happened there. But he's played a massive role for myself, and I'm glad that the club has made him chairman, because there's a massive change in the organisation, and he's doing a fantastic job behind doors.
Well, you know what, mate? There's a massive change, which is absolutely fantastic. As Hoops said, you've got Lee, and you've got Madge there, who's signed up long term. But there's still a lot of ifs, mate. There's still a lot of risk factor. If you look at a bloke like James Roberts or Joey Leilua, if these blokes perform every week, it's going to be good for you. But it's a big if.
Yeah. You'd say that from the outside world, but with the culture that we've seen and what Madge has made clear to the playing group, I think, we know what those players' strengths are. So, and they've got a few weaknesses that they struggled with, in previous seasons. So the main focus is on them getting that right. And when they're on top of the game, everyone knows that they are superstars. So that they just got probably one or two things to focus on, and the rest of it will speak for itself.
What about Adam Dewey? Dave, how's he looking in the halves with Luke Brooks? I believe he's been training most of the summer at 5'8".
Yeah, he definitely has. He's doing a really good job, and he's got some shoes to fill. But I'm really confident in him to perform well. He's still, obviously he hasn't played there in the past, for a full season. So I'm really excited to see him pick up, and he would be really good for this club going forward.
I tell you what, though, if I'm a Tigers fan — you are, Hoops, I'm not — but if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm saying, I don't want to hear this. You blokes haven't made the finals for, I don't know how long, 8 or 9, 10 seasons. It's time for you blokes to, at the very least, finish in the 8.
Yeah, mate, it's 9 seasons. I definitely know that. I've been a part of it, and it's not a good feeling, but we understand that, and I think like I said earlier on, just the change in this club, and I think the belief and for myself, just getting feeling that bit of reward once we make those finals, and I've got full confidence. I wouldn't have played a part in me re-signing if I didn't see anything.
You could start to see some change in the organisation last year, Dave, since Michael Maguire had arrived. And people say that at times, he can be too hard, he can be too much of a drill sergeant. But from an outside point of view, I think people are happy to see that, because, it has been a long time in between drinks. But to be part of the side that does eventually get the club back into the finals and, on target towards competing with the best teams, well, that'd be a hell of an achievement, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think even for Madge, last season, for himself, I think he learned a thing or two, from last season, and I think he understands that. And this off season and going forward, his communication and just the way he's been doing things, the boys have been loving it. So, I've got full confidence in going into this season.
How much of an influence has he had on yourself, Noffer, in terms of, last year a lot of people thought that was your best, most consistent season in the NRL, and a lot of people thought you were damn unlucky not to make the New South Wales Blues 27-man squad. How much of that is down to, what Madge has been able to instill in yourself in relation to your football?
Yeah, I think prior to last year, I was a bit inconsistent with a lot of things at training, just the little things that weren't I'd say professional. So the way Madge trains and the way he mentally gets the boys prepared, I think that's what I needed going into last season, and you know, it shaped me into maturity within the game. So, you know, I appreciate that he's done that for me, and he's played. Yeah, he's definitely played a massive role.
All right, Nuffel, we'll let you go, mate, and some of our favourite people in rugby league at the West Tigers. So we wish you all the best for season 2021, but I guess it remains to be seen, old mate.
All right, boys. Thanks. Appreciate it having me.
Good on you. David Nofaluma joining us. 4-year deal he has signed with the West Tigers, Campbelltown Junior. 139 games so far, and he's getting up to be West Tigers royalty along with Chris Lawrence and Benji Marshall.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
It's Triple M Summer Session. It's all thanks to our friends at Bryden's Lawyers with Maroon and Hoops. Coming up, we are going to speak to Josh Mansour, new recruit at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's on the way. We'll look at Wayne Bennett stepping down too from Origin. But right now it's time for this. What does the fuck say? Yes. What does the Fox say? The man himself, James Triceps Hooper, the Fox. What is going on? What has been going across your desk in the last 4 to 5 weeks?
There's always something going on in the great game of rugby league, Anthony. And look, something that's going on as we speak here on this Saturday afternoon is that there's no love lost between the West Tigers and the Penrith Panthers. Mm. It obviously dates back to the history of when Ivan Cleary chose to leave the Tigers, and he still had a couple of years to go on that contract. He'd obviously invited fans and players to either get on the bus or get off the bus. And after Ivan got off, the bad blood between those clubs has been simmering the whole time. And the Tigers CEO, Justin Pascoe, and Ivan were once great mates, but they haven't spoken since. And what's going on at the moment is that the Tigers are crunching the numbers, and they're just going to make things a little bit difficult for Penrith around the re-signing of Stephen Crichton. Now, I think Stephen Crichton absolutely will still stay at the foot of the mountains, but what they're doing is they've made Stephen Crichton an offer to play fullback for 2022. So he's still signed with the Panthers for this season, but beyond that, he's off contract. So the Tigers have crunched the numbers and come up with a very significant offer and suggested that Stephen could play fullback at their club, so they've offered him decent dough. That means Penrith are going to have to try and find a little bit more in the kitty to get closer to the mark that the Tigers have offered. And so it's just the latest chapter in what has been an ongoing feud ever since Ivan Cleary did decide to leave that club. So that's what's going on there. At the Sydney Roosters, obviously hugely popular club and powerful club. A lot of interest around their skipper, Boyd Cordner, and what is going to happen in relation to his immediate playing future. I've got no doubt in the world, and I haven't spoken to Boyd personally about this, but I've got to know him very well over the years. The style of character that he is, he won't want to walk away from the game of rugby league. He's a fighter and he's a champion, and I've got no question whatsoever that he will want to return to the game. The Roosters have obviously been busy getting all sorts of independent expert medical advice around what is best for Boyd and his future. I think in all likelihood we'll probably see him sit out at least the opening 3 months of the season, so the opening 12 weeks. And then provided that the necessary medical experts are all okay for him to return, then I think we will see him back. Interestingly, Maroon, what that will mean is that the Roosters can apply for some salary cap relief.
Right.
I know as a South Sydney fan, you'll try and shoot holes and poison darts.
Right, and they're going to have a crack at Jai Arrow already, are they?
Not yet. But certainly, because the injury was sustained during State of Origin, they are entitled to submit the paperwork and apply for up to $350,000 of salary cap relief in relation to that. So I think all of that will transpire.
I wonder where the Roosters land this year, Hoops, among the Melbourne Storms, the Raiders, the Rabbitohs and Penrith. Are Roosters, do you think, are they still in that same line of betting?
Yeah, I think they are, no question, because they get Victor Radley back and they get Sam Verrills back, and they've signed that young gun, Joseph Suaalii, who's yet to turn 18. August 1's his birthday. But I'm glad you raised where the Chooks sit, because I think they'll be busy behind the scenes at the moment doing the necessary paperwork to try and get this bloke cleared so that he can make his debut well before his 18th birthday. Because everything that I've heard, and it was initially out of Redfern when the Bunnies had him, and now the Chooks have signed him, he's going to be pretty special, this young bloke. He's likened to a young Israel Folau or Greg Inglis, and I know we don't like to put too big a wraps on young players, but if this bloke stays injury-free, I think the sky could be the limit.
So you don't want to put too much pressure on him?
No.
Because he mightn't perform for the Roosters.
Well, it's more you just don't like to see young blokes, you know, get hyped up too much and then they can get injured or whatever.
But I reckon whack the pressure on him there, Hoops. It can only make him better.
Well, you love the blowtorch if it involves the Chooks. So,
do you have any other
just
news
just because they
us?
Got under your guard. They did get under your guard there.
Mate, it's
that's one of Uncle Nick's best.
Yeah, no, look, it's tit for tat, right? The Roosters and Rabbitohs, they hate each other, okay?
Yeah, and it's good for the game.
I'm saying something completely honest. I haven't got over the Luke Keary thing. That
yeah,
was
well,
like
him,
that was like them taking that was like them splitting my marriage up.
Yeah, well, mate, take it up with the Gladiator, your co-owner of the club.
Mate, you can't saw sawdust. It's all over now. It's all happened now. What have you got? Anything else for us?
What else have we got? Oh, this was an interesting yarn, and hopefully we might have a yak to Chad Townsend a little bit later. But the Sharkies halfback and a bunch of his mates from the Shire have taken up brewing beer, and they've got this pale ale beer called Cronulla Beer Co.
Right.
And it's gone Burko.
Yeah.
It's gone Bunta. So they're selling out all the time. They've got it in on tap in pubs all over the Shire. You can also buy it in boxes, and they literally can't make the stuff fast enough. It started off in a mate's garage, and it's quickly transgressed, and it's now in a Sydney brewery, and they're looking at opening up their own little brewery down there in Cronulla. So
that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, think back of the days when the bloody ex-footy players, when they finished, they might have bought a beer truck, or they might have gone to Wallerawang or Lithgow and opened up a pub. But to make your own beer, that's next level.
Well, I think the one and only Ronnie Coote used to drive a beer truck back in the
day. Yes, yeah.
There's been plenty of players since then that have done it. So, yeah, you're right, Anthony. Welcome to Rugby League 2021. No longer a players driving beer trucks. They're making it, manufacturing it, and making a damn good fist of business out of it.
Mm.
Now, something else that came across my desk over the off-season, and it actually relates to your good self, Anthony. We all know you're a supercar aficionado.
I am.
And you drive that courtesy Camaro that you managed to negotiate off. Nah. Is it Sutton's holding?
I have no interest in Sutton's. I own the car. I purchased the car. The car is mine. I don't mind giving people a rap, but certainly in this case, I bought the car.
The listeners aren't silly, mate.
No, they're not. But you are.
But anyway, that's okay. So the point I was getting to is, can we confirm or deny, is the Camaro off the road at the moment?
Yeah.
I had a couple of people emailing and telephoning and texting suggesting that you'd been involved in some sort of bingle.
Well, nothing's been going on in our neck of the woods. La Perouse, Little Bay, Matraville, Hillsdale. So it's a bit of entertainment outside the post office there in Hillsdale. I put the Camaro up the bum of a Mitsubishi Triton. You can't frighten a Triton. And it's currently sitting in a panel shop in Artarmon awaiting parts.
Mate, you weren't doing burnouts down at La Perouse again,
were
you? No,
mate, no, no.
I thought you'd got past that.
No, mate, I drive it like a little old man. I may as well have a Camry.
No, look, I'm sorry to hear that because I know how much
you
love your car. Mm. And I hope that it's back on the road soon because it is a sight when it's up and about around town, and you are a proud South Sydney supporter, and that is stamped all over your car as well.
Well, let me just say this. A smashed-up Camaro is still better than a Ford Mustang.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Looking at NRL and what's been going on over the summer, it's the game that never sleeps with Maroon and James Triceps Hooper putting another team in review, and this time around, Hoops, we'll take a look at the New Zealand Warriors. Now, they had an interesting season, didn't they, the COVID season, because they started out in Auckland, then they had to relocate to Australia, started out in Tamworth, then they went to the Central Coast along the way. Some players went home, some players were drafted in from other clubs. All in all, sacked a coach, all this going on, you'd have to say it wasn't a bad season.
Oh, it was a great season considering all the obstacles that they had to try and deal with over the course of the 12 months. I think the fact that the NRL CEO, Andrew Abdo, personally went and thanked the Warriors players for all the sacrifices that they had made over the course of the year just underlines everything that the club did go through and the fact that they're such an important part, the Warriors, of the NRL. So they're going to have some challenges again this year. They've got a new coach. They've got some new players, most importantly. So Bailey Sirenen, Marcelo Montoya, Kane Evans, Ben Murdoch-Masilla, damn good player over in the UK Super League, used to be at West Tigers. Ewan Aitken from the Dragons. And the big one is Adam Fanua-Blake. That they signed from the Manly Seagulls. They were able to get him out of his contract with Manly and get him to New Zealand. So that's a big get. Look, I think that they'll probably cause some upsets along the way, but I don't see them featuring in the finals.
Okay, let's just take a little bit of a closer look at these gains, these recruits, because you touched on it there, Hoops. A lot of really good, honest players in that lot. Bailey Sirenin, who comes from good stock. Kane Evans, who's been there, done that. And I'm interested, too, to see how Ben Murdoch-Masila goes back in the NRL after a big stint in the Super League. And so, too, Ewan Aiken. So a lot of players that could bring a little bit of, I don't know, starch or character to this club.
Yeah, no question. Look, I think, and the New Zealand Warriors power brokers spoke about this, and we spoke about it with our great mate Paul Kent on our Sunday Sinbin program last season. The Warriors needed to find a better balance in terms of their roster. And I think that their CEO, Cameron George, spoke publicly about the fact that they wanted to go out and they wanted to recruit and target some players who have spent time at Australian clubs and at clubs that are based here in Sydney and abroad around the rest of the country as well. And you can see that they've done that with the likes of Bailey Sirenin, Kane Evans, Ewan Aitken. Adam Fanua Blake's been at Manly, where he's played under Dez, and he's also played under Trent Barrett. So what they have done, they've been able to value add to their roster. I'll tell you what, they got some attacking strike power. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's obviously been there and done it. At all levels of the game, won a premiership with the Chooks, won a Dally M medal. Roger, since he's been back at the Warriors, he's had some good individual seasons, but I reckon for him it's a big challenge whether he can lead, bring this side together, keep everybody on the same page. They've got a new coach in Nathan Brown. Big challenge for him to try and get them back into playing in the finals.
Mm. But Nathan will teach the club a thing or two as well, Hoops, about perhaps roster management. This is a club that can put all their eggs in the wrong basket. Certainly in the past, they've made some really weird decisions around coaching.
They have. I think most importantly, since they've signed Nathan Brown, Peter O'Sullivan's been there as their general manager of football. He's the main recruitment scout for the club and has been for the last couple of seasons now. They've targeted certain players and they've been very specific in what they've gone after and they've been patient. So they wanted somebody like an Adam Fanua Blake, a cornerstone, front row forward, big motor, can play big minutes. And they wanted him to really be a leader at the club. Bailey Sirenin is a huge pickup. Like, he had a breakout year for the Bunnies last season, ended up, you know, being in the starting side a lot of the time and playing big minutes. He came through as a 5'8", so he's got a lot of ball play in him. He's a terrific asset on an edge. But I go back to Roger. I think it's a real challenge for Roger this season to try and, you know, they made the finals a couple of years ago, went straight out the back door. It's a big challenge for him, and I'm sure he'll be looking at it exactly the same way, individually and personally. If he can get this Warriors side into the finals and they can cause a couple of upsets, well, that's a huge achievement for him.
Well, we'll talk more about COVID-19 and the bubble and how it'll all affect NRL in 2021. But the Warriors will start the season here in Australia. But I guess they don't know, we don't know whether or not it'll be like that for the entire season.
They're in Tamworth at the moment. I actually had some text messages last Saturday night. They're at the Tamworth Hotel. They said they bumped a couple of old friends of yours.
Right. Boot scooting.
Beverly and Denise. Yeah,
oh, they're still up there, Bev and Denise.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Glenda as well. Mm-hmm. And so they said that, yeah, you've got quite a reputation up there around Golden Guitar Country, especially at the Long Yard Hotel. For being a bit of a groover when it comes to line dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, me and Glenda used to get it on till she got the gout. She's got terrible gout as Glenda. But it's a lovely part of the world, isn't it, Tamworth? Triple M Tamworth, if you're listening.
It is a great part of the world. Yeah, real shame that they couldn't have the Country Music Festival as they normally do. Mm. But obviously a lot of those things around the world at the moment have been put on pause. Great part of Australia, rugby league heartland.
Yeah.
And I know that the people of Tamworth really embraced having the Warriors up there in camp there and staying in and around the town. It was a big boost for them.
Mm. Well, when I was doing the night show at 2NZ Inverell, 200Ks to Tamworth, it was like, if you were in Inverell, it was like going to the Gold Coast for the day. If you could go to Tamworth, have a look around the shops. But anyway, so you don't see the Warriors finishing in the top eight?
Not for me, Anthony. What about yourself?
Oh, look, I think I give them as much chance as I do the Gold Coast Titans. I think I'd love to see the Warriors in the eight. I think, you know, it's one of those clubs where they can't afford to have any injuries, particularly around their spine. I don't know. I think maybe eighth or ninth.
Just a couple of emails coming through. Here's one from Leslie at Lillipilly. He said, can we please just drill down a little bit further with Maroon about what has happened with the Camaro?
Yeah.
Why is it up on the hoist?
Yeah.
And can we confirm, is it partially funded by Sutton's Holden or did you legitimately purchase the car?
Well, not that it's anyone's business, yours, Leslie, or certainly not you, Hoops, but no, you can check it out. You can go to, I would rather not give Sutton's any more free time. There. If that doesn't confirm that there's no arrangement with Sutton's, I don't know what was.
Okay, so
the car was purchased through me and full stop.
Okay, don't worry about the purchase. What about the incident? Why is the Camaro currently up on the hoist?
The Camaro is up on the hoist because I was driving past the post office at Hillsdale, city bound, when some moron, two cars up, saw a spot. I mean, trying to get a spot outside the post office at Hillsdale, it's like trying to get a spot in bloody Times Square in New York. She sees the spot, hits the anchors, the bloke behind her in the Triton, I hit the Triton, she pulls in, doesn't get a scratch.
Okay.
So there you go.
Leslie's also, he's followed up with another email. He said he was listening a couple of years ago and you had that analogy about the fly in the car.
Oh, yes.
If you
yes.
hit the brakes, he wants to know if there was a blowfly in the Camaro and that's what happened and that's why you hit the anchors.
Well, there was no blowfly, but there was a barfly in there. So that's it.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Hoops, let's talk about a bit of news out of the old famous Sydney club, the Bulldogs, who I see earlier this week, the CEO Andrew Hill pulled the pin.
Well, he didn't so much pull the pin as he was tapped on the shoulder, Anthony.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's a good man, Andrew Hill. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he resurfaces at another NRL club in a CEO position. But for whatever reason, and probably most likely the fact that he still had some ties to some of the old political movers and shakers from the old Canterbury. So Ray Dibb was the chairman when Andrew Hill was initially appointed as CEO. Then the Anderson family took over and Andrew Hill remained in the role as CEO. And obviously now we've got a completely new board and John Coorey is the new chairman and the power brokers at the club just basically decided that they needed a clean slate. They wanted to go in a different direction, which is a little bit of an intriguing play because the Launday family, who are now on board as the major sponsors and obviously own pubs all over the eastern seaboard of Australia, didn't know. And given their influence and the way that they're putting their hand in their pocket for the club and the fact that they want to really help the club, I must say that surprised me a little bit. Also, Trent Barrett, the new coach, is pretty close with Andrew Hill. They were quite close allies. So it's an intriguing play. I think what will happen is that they'll basically split the CEO role. They will get somebody in as like a general manager of all the commercial and sponsorship side of the business.
Yep.
And then they'll get somebody like a Peter Parr, and that's a strong male around town, is that Peter Parr, who's obviously been up at the North Queensland Cowboys for many years now, helped them win competitions, etc., will come down as a general manager of football.
Mm.
And so he'll work with Trent Barrett, Dave Ferner, the Football Brains Trust at Canterbury Bankstown.
That must be a big call for a bloke like Peter Parr, who's been up at the Cowboys for well over 10 years and obviously built a great reputation, a great name for himself. What attracts him to a club that's had nothing but turmoil in the boardroom for the last few years? What's going to attract him to the Bulldogs?
I think for the Bulldogs, the only way is up. We've seen over the course of the last 6 months, especially since Trent Barrett signed as head coach, gee, they've been active in the market. And
haven't
some
they?
Good signings too. Like Nick Kotrick's a State of Origin player. Josh Adokar's a State of Origin player. Matt Burton's going to be a young gun of the future. The list goes on and on. Jack Hetherington. They've done really well in the marketplace. Corey Allen, most recently, just this week from your club, Anthony, at Redfern to Belmore. So what attracts Peter Parr to Canterbury is the opportunity there that it's a powerful club. It's got great financial support behind it because of the deep pockets of the league's club that's associated with Canterbury Bankstown. And so as a result of that, you never see the Bulldogs stay down for too long. They've been in a flat period since they decided to make the big move and sack Desi Hasler and really shake the joint up. But the one thing I've noticed over the years with Canberra Bankstown, they never stay down for too long. So I'd be thinking that they're going to be on the upward trajectory pretty quick. And for someone like Peter Parr, he's virtually done every position up at the North Queensland Cowboys. He was CEO for a while. He was general manager of football for a while. More recently, since Todd Payton was appointed, he's moved more into a board position. And I think he's also involved with special projects and things like that. So I reckon he might even be looking for a bit of a different opportunity as well. He probably wants to get a bit more hands-on. That's what he specialises in and what he does best. So I think it'd be a good move if he goes there. Like between Trent, Dave Ferner, and then also Peter Parr as your football brains trust, there's a lot of knowledge there.
And you talk about all this recruiting they've been doing in the off-season. A lot of those bigger names are sort of outside backs, are they not? Where's the spine at it at the Doggies? Obviously now they've got Corey Allen, but where's the? What do you think of the spine, the halves, the hooker?
Yeah, obviously, I think in a perfect world, it does need a little bit of work. Matt Burton will obviously be the 5'8 once he actually eventually is released from Penrith. Speaking to Penrith earlier this week and their CEO, Brian Fletcher, he's adamant they won't be letting Matt Burton go a year early. Kyle Flanagan's an interesting one. They signed Kyle last season. He obviously came into first grade and got a good taste with the Roosters last year. They decided they wanted to go in a different direction, but his new coach at Canterbury is very confident that he can get the best out of Kyle. He's a good organising playmaker. He's a damn good goal kicker. And so as a result, I would think he's a good option there. But in terms of their hooker, that's probably where they really need some work. Corey Allen will be the fullback now that they've signed him. That's a good acquisition. Jeremy Marshall-King is an unsung style of a number nine. He doesn't get a lot of reps, but he's not without talent. But I would be thinking longer term, they'll be looking at players like your Brandon Smiths. They're not looking at Cameron McInnes, which I've got to say surprises me because he is off contract with the Dragons at the end of this year. And I would have thought that he would be tailor-made in terms of leadership and also what he can bring out a dummy half for that club.
Do you see the Doggies anywhere near the eight?
Yeah, I think we discussed this at the back end of last year, Anthony. I see them nipping around. I don't think they'll make it, but I think they'll certainly improve. They finished 15th last year. I don't think there's any question they won't be down the bottom of the ladder like that. I think they'll upset a couple of the bigger sides at times. They can cause a couple of boilovers, and I think they'll nip around the eight. They'll probably just miss the cut.
Okay, Maroons poll this week. Who do you think will get the wooden spoon? Let's have a look at an update. I don't think there's a clear favourite for the wooden spoon in 2021. 13% say the West Tigers might finish last. Hoops, your West Tigers?
Garbage. Rubbish.
What about this? Right. 17% say the Dragons.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's on top, is it?
With the brand, yeah.
Okay.
No, there's more.
Okay.
17% say the Dogs.
Yep.
19%.
That's false. That's off the mark.
So you say no to the West Tigers.
I don't think the Tigers will finish
last.
What
about no to the Dragons?
Oh,
someone's got to finish last.
Yeah.
19% have said Manly. What about this?
There's not a lot between. I will say this. You touched on it earlier. There's actually not a lot between the bottom six sides. So if you go the Warriors, the Tigers, Manly, the Dragons, the Bulldogs, there's not a whole lot between all of those sides. Manly's an interesting one. They get Kieran Foran back this season. DCE will be better. Tommy Turbo will be back from injury. But they have lost. Like Adam Fanua-Blake was a damn good player. And yes, they have recruited a couple of decent forwards, but I'm not sure they've replaced him.
Okay.
Joel Thompson's gone too.
43% for the wooden spoon.
The Warriors.
The Broncos.
Oh,
who won the wooden spoon this year? The Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, Kevy will bring them back together.
But you're saying this with your heart, Hoops, because you love Kevy, as we all do.
I'm saying it with my heart, but I'm saying it with my head as well. I don't think the Broncos will run last again. No, I don't think that.
So there's 16 teams in the NRL. You don't think any of them will finish last?
I'll go out. I will say I think that The Dragons are going to struggle.
All right. Well, that's the poll. Get onto it. Triple M underscore NRL of the Triple M NRL Facebook page. As we rock the NRL over summer, this is Triple M.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed. Triple M rocks the NRL 24-7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.